Hello, and welcome to another edition of the South Boys Podcast. This is Angelo. You know the drill. Like us on Facebook, South Boys Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at South Boys Pod and on Instagram, South Boys Podcast. We're also on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel, Navs Ganglani. Or if you're old school, you can also email us your inquiries, questions, shoutouts to our email address, southboys.podcast@gmail.com. So coming up, it's South Boys and Chill with our main man, Naveen Ganglani. So we talked about the movie Gen San Punch, which is streaming exclusively on HBO Go. If you haven't already, please subscribe to HBO Go. You can go to their website or download the app. You can subscribe for as low as 99 pesos a month. So I'll put the links in the description for this episode. So we talked about the movie, our initial thoughts and reactions, our favorite scenes, winners and losers of the movie, all that stuff, and many more. So here's South Boys and Chill, Gen San Punch with Naveen Ganglani. Joining me to talk about the HBO original movie, Gen San Punch, is my main man, Naveen Ganglani. Navs, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, bro. Thanks for having me. I'm glad I was able to slip in some time to watch this movie. I actually genuinely enjoyed it. I know we're going to talk about it more in a little bit. But overall, I just wanted to get that off the bat. I thought it was a pretty, you know, like it's a... I wouldn't say it's like a, oh, you can't miss it. But I would still say, you know, it's worth the time, especially because it's coming out in HBO soon.
Of course, of course. So before anything else, you know, just want to say congratulations again. Navs here just got married, like what, a week ago?
Yeah, actually, exactly a week ago was our reception was taking place. Crazy. Time flies fast. But thank you, Angela. I appreciate that big time. And thanks to everyone also who reached out on social media to say congratulations. Really appreciate you guys.
Yeah, so if I may ask, bro, like, how was it? I mean, I imagine it must have been a blur for you the day itself, the week right. itself maybe. So I guess I want to ask, what's the most memorable thing from the day itself, from your wedding? You know, set the scene for us, if you don't mind. You had a beach wedding, right, in Boracay? I want to hear all about it, bro.
Well, you know, the first thing I would say is Indian weddings, because, you know, for people who might not know, I'm actually Indian, full-blooded Indian. just grew up in the Philippines. But yeah, when it comes to Indian weddings, we have like 3 days of different celebrations. I think in contrast to like Christian weddings, which normally take place in the Philippines,
just one day,
it's like a 1 day event, right? And it's pretty chill. for us, it's like 3 days. No, actually, really 4 days, because it's three nights of events. And some people even come for like day zero. So it becomes like 4 nights, 5 days sometimes. So that's kind of like what we had for our wedding. So thankfully enough, we were able to do it at Crimson in Boracay. They were really kind enough to work with us to make sure everyone was safe. We tested everybody before they flew to the wedding, and there, the wedding days itself, we tested everybody too to make sure everyone was safe. And yeah, so the first night, see, there's just so many activities and parties and rituals. It's so like in-depth, like it could be a totally entire podcast. And planning it... it's so fun also at the same time so challenging, because you have so many things to take care of. But when you see it come to life, like we did, my wife and I, Karina, when we saw it like last week, it was just so amazing. The first night we had a welcome dinner, beach party kind of almost. And then the second night we had a pool party in the pavilion with the swimming pool of the resort. And the third night we had our wedding ceremony in the morning. So for Indians, it's different. We kind of have to like walk around a bowl of fire like 4 times. And there's like a lot of prayers that goes on. Like I said, it's so complex.
Yeah.
And then the nighttime, we had our reception there. So there were like so many events, but everyone seemed like they had fun. Because of the pandemic, we were limited with our guest list. We wanted to invite a bunch of people. Like, I would have loved to invite you, Angelo, for example, but because we were told that, you know, we had a limited guest list, we had to reserve it for, like, you know, family and people we knew since we were young. But that's why we also tried to come up with a Zoom link to send to people. But yeah, you know, one of my takeaways from all of it is that wedding planning can be difficult during COVID, but ultimately very fulfilling.
Yeah, I saw your stories, your posts, Nav. It was all amazing just seeing it from social media. I can only imagine like how magical it is in person. So yeah, one last thing, bro. Because let's face it, I'm on the age range, right? Where maybe one of these days, you don't know, maybe I'm the one who's getting married or something, but I still don't know when is that. But I just want to ask you, maybe like what are some don'ts, in wedding planning? Like, do you have some tips for me? Like top three tips maybe for planning my future wedding years from now?
All right. So, first of all, shout out to Kay. I hope that she's listening. And if she's listening to this, Kay, I think you should totally put the pressure on Angelo starting like tonight or whenever you're listening to this. Just text him every day. Are you gonna propose? Are you gonna propose? No, I'm just joking. Actually not. But so three tips. Number one, the one thing you have to remember in wedding planning is no matter how much effort you think you're putting in as the groom or the guy, it will still pale in comparison to what the bride brings to the table or what the woman brings to the table. Yeah, kind of saying that now. Oh yeah,
She's
see,
in
my
the
wife
room
heard
right
that
now.
when she's coming. She just came out real quick when she heard that. So yeah, that's the number one thing you have to remember, okay? Always keep it positive.
Right, noted.
And then number two, don't do. Let's see. Oh, don't try to procrastinate things. As much as you tell yourself, oh, you know, it's only a wedding, it's like a party, it's fine, whatever. Like, there's still so many decisions you have to do. After one decision follows like five more decisions for that one decision. So, whatever you can get done early, do that. And then number three, I'll just give you a piece of advice I was told over and over again during my wedding. Okay, my wedding itself. Don't laugh at your wife's choices. In your case, your girlfriend's choices. You are one of them. So that's something to live by.
That's really insightful. Thank you, Navs, for those three tips, especially the last one. I'll keep that in mind. I'll print a poster of that and put it up in my room. But
Yes.
we're not here to
Oh,
talk
and
about
then to
your.
and
Oh,
to
okay,
add to
go, go.
that, and to add to that. Don't ever praise your girlfriend's choices too much, too. You are also one of them. So just something to keep in mind.
Goes both ways. It goes both ways. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Navs. But we're not here to talk about your wedding, as you said. Maybe it's another podcast episode for you. And also, I don't want to ask about your bachelor's party, because it looked like it was crazy. But we're here to talk about the movie
Right.
Gensan Punch. So, Navs, when did you watch the movie? Because me, I just watched it last night, before this episode.
Well, first, I just want to say if my bachelor's party was turned into a movie, I think it would be a pretty cool movie. Although I don't think I ever want to see that come out. Number two, I watched the movie this afternoon, actually. So I wanted to watch
So
it
fresh
as
as
close.
well, yeah.
Yes. So I watched like the first two thirds of it this afternoon, and then I came home, you know, cooked dinner, and then after dinner decided to watch it for a little bit, the remaining third of the movie, and I just finished it now. And yeah, like you mentioned, it's good to have it fresh in your mind when you talk about it, right?
Yeah. So before this, before you watch Gensan Punch, I just want to ask first, what's the last Filipino movie you saw, and like, how's your relationship with Filipino movies, I guess?
I don't want to say non-existent because it sounds so bad, but
It's fine.
I wouldn't also say it's good because honestly, I probably don't watch as much as I should. I think the last period of my life where I was watching local movies was when I was in college, because I went to, like you, Angelo, we went to DLSU, right? And we took our courses, for me, psychology, in the College of Liberal Arts, where you meet a lot of people who are into the arts, who are into creativity and freedom of speech and liberal statements. And that's when I got to know more people, and that's when they invited me to watch, like, you know, more local movies. But since then, and that's why, to answer your question, it's going to sound so bad, I can't really remember the last Filipino movie I watched. I feel like it was either a movie about gay people turning into zombies. I think it was that. Or there was another one I watched when I was in the province one time. I was in Bacolod one time. I was watching a movie about, like, two kind of, like, guys. You know, those classic Filipino movies where they're, like, medyo palabiro na guys. I think that's what you call them.
Yeah.
You know, yung mga joker. And then they eventually find the girl, and then the girl thinks they're annoying at first. The girl eventually likes them. So it's been a long, long time. Although I will say that's more an indictment on me, because I feel like after watching Gen San Punch, it kind of made me realize also how the level of film, at least locally, has improved, even if not by a lot. Thank you. Even if not by a lot, but by a certain amount, right? Compared to where it was like 10 years ago. I remember also, though, when I was a kid, there used to be this, there used to be Darna, there used to be Bahay ni Lola, and all these, like, I used to enjoy more of the local scary Filipino movies when I was a kid. You know, yung mga aswang when you go to the provinces, those kinds of flicks. But since then, yeah, I haven't really gotten to watch a lot. How about you, though?
Yeah, it's understandable, Navs. For me, the last Filipino movie I saw was Between Maybes. It's on Netflix. It's starring Gerald Anderson and Julia Barreto. So this was the controversial film, if I'm not mistaken, where their relationship started, you know. So the movie, it was not that bad. It's also a typical love story, but it's set in Japan also, coincidentally. So I also watched the On the Job series on HBO, if you've heard of it. Though technically it's not a movie, it's a series. So, you know, I think more people should watch that series. It's an amazing series by Eric Matty. So my relationship with Filipino movies is, yes, you know, us personally, we love watching movies. And as you said, Navs, my relationship with Filipino movies, it's not non-existent, but I have to admit, like, my movie watching ratio would be somewhere between 20 to 1, like 20 Hollywood or international movies. Then I'll just watch, like, out of 20 movies, I just watch like one Filipino or local movie. You know what I mean? So when I ask myself the question, why is that? Like, I don't want to say it's because of the quality, because as you've mentioned, we have a lot of outstanding films here in the country. I guess majority of the mainstream movies are not my cup of tea. And when you want to cherry pick the movie you want to watch, to some extent, it's also a challenge. But I do want to commend also the big players in streaming like Netflix today, who now has all of a sudden like a ton of Filipino movies, and it's also diverse. So maybe the access or awareness barrier is slowly crumbling down. And this started, I think, when the movie, if you've heard of the movie, Ang Pangarap Kong Hold Up, the comedy. So that was a very funny movie. And the local movie catalog of Netflix was bare back then before that movie released. So but now it has grown exponentially. So yeah, I enjoy watching original Pinoy movies, especially the rom-coms, the classic John Lloyd Cruz, Bea Alonzo movies, Katniel movies, largely because of my girlfriend, of course. Just shout out to my girlfriend. And a lot of my favorite feel-good movies are Filipino. So it's just on me, like you said, to watch more of them, especially now that it's getting easier and easier to have access to quality Filipino movies. And it's not just on Netflix. There are a lot of streaming platforms now. You have Upstream, you have iFlix that has a lot of Filipino movies. So yeah, Before we talk about the movie again, I just want to give a background and synopsis of Jensan Punch. So
wait, sorry.
First
sorry
of
Andrew,
all,
though, I just remembered.
Yeah,
one
go
thing.
Ahead.
I realize now that I did watch a couple of Filipino movies the last few years that I forgot. But the reason why I forgot was because they were pretty good. I watched Luna and Goyo about Antonio Luna and Del Pilar, some of our Filipino war heroes.
Yeah.
And the reason why I watched that one is because I've always been a sucker for history, especially history in the period where there's war. That's always why I liked watching shows about Greek mythology, Norse mythology, about World War, and all of that. So those were the last movies I actually watched. I watched Luna in the cinema, even.
General Luna, right?
Yes, yes. And
yeah.
I watched Goyo on Netflix when it came out. So that also made me realize that I think for many people, and myself included, it's not that our preference immediately is to just not watch local Filipino movies, right? Because, like, truth be told, they face a lot of competition from movies abroad. Hollywood, in my case, even Bollywood also. So, and now you have movies from France, from Spain, like Money Heist is originally from Spain, right? I mean, K-drama is all over the place.
Asian movies also, yeah.
Exactly. So there's a lot of competition now.
A lot of choices also.
Yeah, but I think one thing that helps is that the last few years, we've kind of seen filmmakers and local movies veer away from the traditional rom-com or drama. You know, the usual movies where there's a guy and a girl and they're, you know, picking sila at each other at first and then eventually they fall in love and then there's family drama. You know, back in the day, it felt like almost all movies were like 90% like that, diba? But like over the last few years, we've kind of seen people veer away from that and kind of try other possibilities. And this movie, I feel, is one of them. Like, it's a, like, I had never heard of, we're going to talk about the boxer later on, but I had never heard of him prior to this movie. But now, you know, I'm interested to learn more about him, to research about his story because of this movie. And I think like films like this would help local film consumers kind of give the local product a try.
And to your point, Navs, this is also, I have to admit, this is also my first Filipino sports movie. Like, I don't know if I have ever heard of a Filipino sports movie, right? I mean, in Hollywood, there's like every year maybe a sports movie comes out, but now, you know, there's a variety of genres we're seeing in the OPM, Original Pinoy Movie space. And I guess also if you serve it on a platter, like, you know, just put it online streaming, Filipinos will watch it. It's not that we don't want to watch it, you know, as long as it's easy to access, that also helps. So let's talk about the movie, Navs. I'll just give a quick or brief background of the movie Jensan Punch, because I feel like maybe not a lot of people have heard of this movie. So first of all, this movie is in no way about Manny Pacquiao. It's titled Jensan, his hometown, but it's not about him. It's produced and directed by Brillante Mendoza. The main cast includes Shogun, Ronnie Lazaro, and Beauty Gonzalez. So this movie will premiere exclusively on HBO Go on December 16, tomorrow, by this time of the recording. So it's inspired by the true story of Naozumi Tsuchiyama. I hope I said that correctly. So it is about Nao, a Japanese man with a prosthetic leg who dreams of becoming a professional boxer. So while his skills are undeniable, his condition leads him to fail quote-unquote physical condition regulations in Japan, rendering him too unable to fight professionally there in his hometown country. So this leads him on a journey to General Santos City, of course, the boxing capital of the Philippines, and the famed hometown of Manny Pacquiao. Senator Manny Pacquiao nga pala, where he trains in a gym named Jensan Punch. to try to earn his professional boxing license. So the plot, the ordeal, it's straightforward. Win 3 fights and he'll get his license. The film won the prestigious Kim Ji-suk Award at the 26th Busan International Film Festival. Film festival held in October. So, you know, before we dive into the movie, I just want to give a spoiler warning. So here's your final warning, guys, to those listening. We're going to be having a spoiler-filled conversation about the movie. So if you haven't watched it yet, stop listening. Subscribe to HBO Go for as low as 99 pesos a month and watch Gensan Punch. And then return here, of course. Listen to our thoughts and reactions about the movie. So, Navs, you said you just watched it this afternoon. I watched it last night, so it's kind of fresh in your memory. So I want to know your initial thoughts or knee-jerk reactions about the movie. Tell us why you like it.
Yeah, so first of all, I felt like the cinematography was nice. You know, towards later on in the movie, it kind of felt like I was watching a documentary in a movie's body rather than just a movie, you know. I thought that some of the camera angles of the film were perfectly situated to get the proper emotional response from the faces of the cast or the characters, but at the same time, making sure that it never went away from the integral focus of the story, which is now the main character. I like that even if we don't get a lot of Nao's background kind of to begin the movie, we kind of see him develop even in increments as he travels from Japan to the Philippines. And in the Philippines, what I also like was how the director, Brillante Mendoza, who, you know, is pretty renowned here locally in the country for being a great director. For context, he also directed The Sauna of President Duterte in 2016 and 2017. And while I have my thoughts about The Sauna itself, I just thought the cinematography of it was really nice.
At least it was good to watch.
it was very interesting. So I then realized also, number one, like I mentioned earlier, we don't get a lot of local films like this where it almost feels like you're not watching a Filipino movie, even if that feels a little bad to say, maybe because we haven't gotten so used to these kind of sports sports biography films. But then it felt nice, it felt refreshing, right? I liked how the movie was able to tell the story without having to use so much dialogue. Okay, like Nao is a great character for They portrayed him so well as a Japanese boxer looking for an opportunity to come to the Philippines, because the actor, let me see if I'm getting his name right over here, the actor, Shogun, called? Shogun, yes. Yeah. Has a great kind of like stoic face, and you kind of understand where that stoicness is coming from, where his mindset is from because of the past history with his dad leaving the family behind, how it's always been him and his mom, how he's always had a prosthetic leg. So he's almost kind of like had to approach life in this stoic sense of, you know, what happens, happens. I just have to deal with it. And you see that in him when he arrives in Gensan, right? When he arrives to the Philippines. It's almost like you, the viewer, you're afraid for what's in store for him because he's so dedicated in his goal of becoming a boxer that you're like, oh, hey, maybe remember that you have a prosthetic leg and now you're going to a totally provincial city in a different country. But then he goes there, he fits in seamlessly. He even builds up a romantic interest. I don't know what happened there, right? That kind of like was left hanging for all of us to wonder. But then he gets along with the local boxers. There's not like sense of jealousy. He likes getting along with people and he's so dedicated. And then when you get to the point where he finds out his coach actually rigged his fight, it was predictable that he would get mad, but it was portrayed by this actor so well that you kind of understood where the boxer was coming from. And I just think that Shogun was the star of the movie. The way he portrayed what we would feel Now Sukiyama, if I pronounce that correctly, the real now, like if you would imagine how he would feel or how he would react, how Shogun portrayed that is exactly how I would have imagined it. So I thought that he was really the best part of the movie.
Yeah, so I, for me personally, I like the movie more than I didn't like it. You know what I mean? So I'm not here to bullshit anyone like and say like, oh my god, like this is the greatest sports movie ever. It's mind-blowing. It's a masterpiece, all that stuff. I'm not going to say that. It has its flaws, which we'll talk about right. more a little later on. But I like that this is not your typical mainstream Filipino movie. As you mentioned, Navs, and of course, coming from the brilliant, pun intended, no pun intended, brilliant director, Brillante Mendoza, nothing is typical, you know, from his material. So I do have to say also, it's my first time to watch a Filipino sports movie, but I don't think that our local movie industry hasn't exactly been making many sports movies. I think the most recent one, according to IMDb, was Kid Kulafu, and that was way back in 2015. So I don't have many comparisons for a local sports movie. I don't know like how it stands, right? So I also read an article by Bill Belasco for PhilStar, sharing my sentiments, that wishing for more Filipino sports movies. So anyway, when you talk about a sports movie, I guess the common theme is it's inspiring. It's supposed to be inspiring. A sports movie is supposed to uplift you, right? And Gen San Punch for me was effective in that way, but also in a different way because, the cliche in sports movies, the protagonist is an underdog trying to win the biggest medal or championship or award there is, or his or her rise to superstardom. But in this movie, yes, it's based on a true story. Now the main character is just fighting for a professional license. So it solely focuses on that. And even if the reward doesn't seem huge because of his disability, his situation in life, for him, that's the dream, right? So that was effective for me in that way. And I love how down to earth, like the subject of the movie is. As he said, the character portrayed it perfectly, stoically. So it also reminded me, just a side note here, I read this book titled The Little Book of Ikigai. Are you familiar with that book, Navs? Yeah, so Ikigai is a Japanese term, meaning the pleasures and meaning of life. So, and there's a story there about the sumo wrestlers in Japan. So the story goes that, of course, in sumo wrestling, there are also rankings, much like in other martial arts. You have like the black belt is the highest in karate or taekwondo. And in boxing, you have all the belts, the fame, right? But in sumo, the sumo wrestlers in Japan, there are sumo wrestlers that just do sumo wrestling for the love of it, for the sake of it. Like they don't care what their rank is. They just do it day in and day out. For context also, sumo wrestling in Japan is an entertainment. It's big there. So much like you and I, we watch a basketball game for entertainment. In Japan, they watch sumo wrestling. So, there are big names sumo wrestlers, but there are also a lot of sumo wrestlers who just do it for the passion. They don't care what their rank is, so they're happy and content. They go on their whole lives just in the mediocre rank, but they still do it for the rest of their lives. So I was reminded of that story in this movie because I think the parallels were there. And it's a good reminder that in sports and in life, not everything has to be competition, awards, fame. But it's also just about the passion and whether you love what you're doing. So yeah, for better or worse, it's also just a pretty straightforward movie. It's under 2 hours. It's all about Nao's journey to earn that professional boxing license. So that's what I liked about the movie.
Before we talk about the things that didn't work for us, Navs, do you have last good points or good comments about it?
Yeah, like I also just wanted to add that because Nao's journey starts in his hometown, which I believe is Okinawa, right? Okinawa in Japan. And then he travels to Jensen. And there was no like romanticizing Philippine provincial life. The way it was portrayed by the director, Brillante Mendoza. Because I have never been to Jensen, but I've been to a few Philippine provinces. And when I saw how it was portrayed in the movie Jensen, and I thought it was accurate with how provincial life really is in the Philippines. Like, you know, most people take the tricycle. A lot of young, you know, like especially in Jensen, I would imagine a lot of young people would like to become boxers, especially those who are also working part-time. And by the way, Manny Pacquiao wasn't in the movie, but his presence always loomed large in the movie. There were posters of him everywhere. Even the referee for one of the fights had his hairstyle and like mustache style. And he's like an icon. People are like kind of presented to look up to by the film. But anyway, even the going back to my original point about the accuracy of how Philippine provinces are, even the fight at the fish market, like at the dawn, in the dawn of morning, at like I'm guessing it was like 7-8 a.m. like two people like actually like hold me back, guys, like just shouting things at each other, like oh yeah, no, sige, punta ka dito, you know, like the usual stuff. That I mean, I wouldn't say like it actually goes unfair. Like I'm sure people who are listening to this pod and you and I, we've seen situations like that, like in random places, right, in the country. Yeah. So I like how that was portrayed also. And then ironically, the guy who was in the fight by his young coach of who now would have as a coach. I also like, by the way, how we mentioned earlier, Now's coach tried to bribe one of the fights to make sure he won, diba? And Brillante like portrays this in one of the scenes. Let's not go too much into spoiler territory, but he portrays this, and I like that he did, because these things actually go down in boxing fights, right? Maybe we don't know for certain if they go down in the highest levels of boxing matches, but like all over the world, you won't not hear about boxing matches being rigged. It's part of the sport. It's part of almost any sport. A lot of people always claim like there's sports that are rigged. And I like how he put that in the film, also incorporated that. And yeah, like, you know, I agree with you generally. I wouldn't say it's a blockbuster, but I also wouldn't say it's a hard pass.
Yeah. So let's go to what are the things about the movie that you think, or for you, that didn't work? Like you didn't see it as a good point.
Well, I guess I don't have a lot of like things to like say that I didn't like so much. It was more one of those movies where it was good, but it was never really great. You know what I mean? Like I would watch it, I'd spend time watching it, but it's probably not one of those films that if I saw it again on TV, I'd dedicate an hour and a half watching it again, right? Or maybe, who knows? But right now, I probably wouldn't feel that way. So maybe you could say that is something that I didn't like about it, because not to act like I'm busy all the time or anything, but like if I'm going to dedicate 1.5 hour to watching a movie when I could be doing other things like playing video games or hanging out with my wife or my family, or, you know, doing or work, researching, you know, stuff like that, I want to make sure that it's an hour and a half well spent. And I would say this was one of them. Like, I don't regret spending like an hour and a half watching it. I kind of just wish there were more memorable moments, I would say. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it was like a steady, good movie that started good and stayed good all throughout. But it never had the highest of highs. To be fair, it also never had like a lowest of lows part. You know, some movies have that really nice moments, and then you have the kind of meh moments, and then you have nice moments. This kind of stayed at a steady pace the entire way. And that's partly why I say it reminded me of a documentary. And that's not horrible. That's pretty good. But it's also like far from a masterpiece.
Yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it. So you felt like it was a documentary. For me, it felt like an MMK episode. Have you ever watched an MMK episode, Nabse? Yeah, so that was like the general feeling for me after watching the movie, but with less drama. That was just the general vibe after watching the movie for me. And then the punching sounds bothered me a bit, because I think it was fake or just dubbed over. If you notice, Nabs, the punching sounds. And I'm certain of this fact because during that scene where they were, the coach, his coach, Coach Rudy, and now were fighting, it was the same sounds. It was the same punching sounds, and they weren't wearing any gloves. So the same punching sounds from that fight and like the fight itself, the sounds were the same. So that bothered me a bit. And I just have to say that because this is a boxing movie. This is a movie about boxing. So I have to point that out. So another point that didn't work for me was the quote-unquote love story between Now and Beauty Gonzalez. That didn't make sense for me. Like, 1 minute they were just sitting by the beach, they were talking to each other, and then the next minute Now is entering her bedroom, and then after that you never see them together again. And I wish that was cut na lang from the movie. And then lastly, I'm torn on the writing and dialogue on this movie, Nabs, because on one hand, they portrayed it rather realistically that the people there now, they wouldn't be proficient in English or in the English language, right? So that's realistically, but I guess I expect like a better dialogue from a movie like this. But again, realistically, there's a language barrier between these characters. So I don't know if I'd rather have an unrealistic portrayal of these characters where they can like communicate with each other very well through English or through any other language. But what did you feel about the writing and the dialogue in this movie?
Well, first, I thought that I like how, especially when it came to the local lingo, the Visayan and Filipino lingo, for example, they stayed true to that. I understand how if there was someone who didn't grow up in the Philippines, watch the film, they'd have a hard time keeping up with the Tagalog lingo especially, and they'd really need the subtitles, no? Because like for me, I understand Tagalog, but I still needed the subtitles kind of too, because they were talking so fast and it was coming out of their tongue so naturally. I was like, whoa, wait, right? But I felt like it was one of those films also where what was trying to be said by the scene could be said without dialogue getting in the way, or it was more on the reactions of the characters, more of the environment, what was going on. And for the dialogue, I think overall it was okay. Like, you know, it wasn't like super duper memorable. Like, I think we're going to talk about like a memorable quote from the movie. I can't really think of any that comes to mind right now because it kind of stayed the same way all throughout. But I definitely agree with you though, in the sense that I felt like they could have done without the romance, quote unquote, because I don't know what that is. They could have even maybe trimmed the movie a bit without that. But at the same time, you know, almost every local movie needs to have some sort of love story. So maybe that's why they had to insert it, even if it felt unnurtured in some way.
Yeah, so the film, majority of the film, they just spoke in their natural language. So it had some English subtitles. But yeah, I wish the love story was cut. So moving on from negative talk, let's talk about our favorite scenes or moments about the movie. So let's start with you, Navs.
Well, to be honest, I liked a lot of the boxing scenes. I think one, because, and this was mentioned somewhere that I read too, that apparently none of the fights were choreographed. It was more natural. And the boxers, when they were at the ring, I felt like that's when the actors really shined the most. It was when they were most natural, most showing their raw emotions. And the cinematography of it, I thought, was great too. How the videographers knew the perfect time to kind of when to transfer the camera angle from below looking up to like eyes first. You could see the person's face right in front of you to kind of a farther view. And those are really important when it comes to boxing films. You need to know when to slot the camera angles, when to get the perfect time to see someone get punched in the jaw, to see an uppercut connect, right? And I thought they did a great job. And that's why the first thing that comes to my mind are the boxing scenes. Because from the early onset, it's established. This is a movie about a one-legged man chasing his dream to be a boxer. And they stayed consistent with that. And it's great that the boxing scenes were worked out tremendously, because it stayed in line with what the movie was trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my favorite scenes or moments from the movie, I have three listed down. So first is the outburst of Now when he found out that the fight was rigged, and his fight against his coach, because as you said, the movie felt like it just went on a straight line, but in that moment, I think it just went up a little bit. Like the drama, maybe that was the highest point, if you could call it, in terms of the drama. And the character you said Now, the actor just played the character stoically. But on that scene, on that moment, you know, he could flex a little bit of his acting skills right there. You know, so I like that scene. I like that moment. Second is the training montage, specifically when it focused on the agility drills that Now was doing, because I think that did a good job of establishing that, you know, yes, Now is an amputee. He has a prosthetic leg, but look at this. He can do those agility drills as good as normal people can. And this should not be treated as a disability, because he can do these things that normal boxers can. So I like that montage. And then lastly is the ending where Now was watching his gym mate in the TV be a champion. So I thought that just underscores again that that not everything about Now, his boxing career, he's happy, he's contented that he tried, that he put himself out there, you know, that it's all about the love of boxing for him. And that at that moment, you didn't see any like disgust from him. So it was almost like he was just happy for like his gym mate. I forgot the name of the boxer there who would go on and be a champion in that scene. Right. So you mentioned, Navs, that it's hard to think of a best line from this movie because the dialogue was maybe meh, but I just have one listed down. The best line for me is not so during the scene where there were two kids fighting, right? And there was the father, I think, came to get the kid away from the fight because people were betting on these two kids fighting. So the father said, not everybody can be like Pacquiao. And I thought that was a good reality check because, you know, in Gensan, it's like their basketball. It's the boxing capital of the Philippines. It's a reminder again that not everybody is destined for greatness. Not everybody can be like Pacquiao. Not everybody can be great. So I thought, yeah, that was maybe the best line that stood out for me. So how about you, Navs? Do you have anything in mind right now?
Well, okay. So the first thing is the scene you mentioned about where the dad was like, "Dah hindi naman lahat katulad ni Pacquiao." He said something along those lines. I thought that was very impactful. I agree with you on that because that's the truth. But at the same time, too, I felt like it reminded me of why sometimes kids don't flourish because the parents are have certain expectations or they just don't want yung mga anak nila to try certain things or to not do certain things, diba? So you kind of see both sides of the coin there. And I thought that was a very important moment, no? Now had a boxer teammate, Bon Jovi. And I thought Bon Jovi, I actually thought, okay, spoiler alert, after Bon Jovi died, the movie kind of turned a little downward. Because for me, Bon Jovi almost brought
the humor, yeah.
Humor, lighter side of like a serious sports biography movie, right? So kind of like when he died, and then the way but they entered the morgue, it just felt so morgue-y, right? and so when he died, I thought the humor or the light side of the movie kind of died with him also. But right before he died, his trainer, Coach Rudy, I think, yeah, Coach Rudy, right? Said something along the lines of, they kind of told him, don't be too stylish, right? Just hit him properly, don't be... I forget the exact line now, but it stayed with me. But it, I'm paraphrasing na lang na parang the coach told him, don't be too stylish because he was like trying to show off a little bit, diba? And because like he wasn't taking it seriously, one punch was all it took to kind of, you know, unfortunately, he passed away. So it reminded me of like one of life's realities also where sometimes all it takes is like one error or one misjudgment to have like crucial mistakes. And by the way, I just want to say there was no explanation for how Bon Jovi died. Apparently he just got hit and then fell down in the ring and then died. Like there was no scientific term or like reason or like was it
there was no doctor like to explain like, what happened.
Yeah, like was it a brain hemorrhage? Was it you know, there was something already wrong there because he got hit before. They were parang, oh yeah, he's just dead. And I like, obviously, I mean, we don't want to ask naman for like everything to be perfect, but like some kind of explanation would have been very helpful.
Yeah, it was a quick exit for Bon Jovi in the movie. Yeah. Just a tragic way to die. And it's based on a true story, you know. I don't know if that's just an added thing to the movie. I don't know if it's really based on what happened in real life. To maybe the character was made up. I haven't researched about it because in movies that are based on true stories, it's not everything is what really happened. So I'm curious to know if that was what really happened. So you also said earlier that the scenes, the boxing scenes were improvised. It was not scripted. It was not staged. So on that note, I just want to give out some more movie trivia and tidbits for the listeners about the movie. So the idea of the movie was first suggested by the actor Shogun, who plays the boxer. He was a friend already of Tsuchiyama off screen, so the real life now. So they're friends, so he was aware of the inspirational story and the idea of the movie came from him. Second, Shogun wasn't a boxer before this film. He also doesn't have a prosthetic in real life. So he dedicated himself to boxing, trained 5 to 6 times a week. And then the special effects was done for his amputated leg in the movie. Pretty impressive also, special effects for that. So you mentioned the non-scripted method for the boxing sequences. It was not choreographed. This also led to some minor bruises for Shogun, which you would expect from a boxing movie. And then lastly, the real life now is still alive, and he's retired from boxing 5 years now. Right, so Navs, let's go to the winners and losers of the movies. For you, let's start with the winners of the movie for you, Navs.
I think Shogun was great as Nao. I think he portrayed a lot of the emotions you'd expect from a boxer with the character's goal, without having to say too much. I also thought that, let me see, I'm just saying this correctly, no? That Ronnie Lazaro as Coach Rudy was really good also. I enjoyed that. And I also like the role played by Nao's mother. I thought she played the role of someone you would expect in her situation to be really well, and brought that character to life again, also without having to say too many words, diba? And yeah, I also thought that overall this was a good film for Brillante Mendoza. I'm not sure if this was his first sports flick, was it ba? But we'll research on that. But if it was, not a bad way to debut. And who knows, maybe we see more sports biography films out of him. Because you and I both know there are a lot of worthy sports stories, icons in this country whose stories deserve to be told in different mediums. And hopefully this inspires other content creators with the resources to make big scale productions come to life. Hopefully this inspires them to look for similar stories, you know, that could inspire other people rather than the usual rom-coms.
Yeah, right. So our minds are in sync now, Navs. I also thought that Ronnie Lazaro, the actor, was Coach Rudy, was perfectly casted for this role for the Filipino movie watchers out there. He's a very familiar face. You know, he plays this role in his sleep. This is just typically the role he gets in a movie, and in this movie, it's perfect for him. Nao's mom, winner for me also, because she was just so supportive of Nao, of her son fulfilling his dream. You know, she was the one who booked the ticket, I think, showing Nao the itinerary, making sure his son won't get lost in the country, all those stuff. Winner for me. And lastly, I have listed down as a winner for this movie is Jensan, General Santos City. I got to know more about the city. I want to go there. The tunas were huge. I want to taste that authentic tuna, Jensan tuna, which they are famous for. I think they're the tuna capital of the country, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember my history lesson during my grade school days. But anyway, yeah, Jensan, Ronnie Lazaro, Nao's mom, Shogun, winners, all winners, Brillante Mendoza, of course, all winners of the movie. So let's go to the losers of the movie. I'll start, Navs. I have three listed down. So loser for me, disability discrimination. Please stop with that. Another loser connecting it to the discrimination is the Japan Boxing Commission, like, rejecting Nao 2 times of his license. How can that prosthetic leg be dangerous in boxing, Navs? I don't get that. Do you have an idea how? Because the boxer can't use it, right?
I think it's more to protect the boxer from himself or herself. Just because if a prosthetic leg comes out during a fight, who knows what can happen from there. I think that would be the philosophy behind it. But I agree with you. I mean, if the guy can prove that he can fight, which in this case, it seems like he could, naman, I mean, and has the wins and experience to prove it, then I think it deserves a special case in consideration. Although I also see the flip side of it.
Yeah, right. I get also the reason why for safety of the boxer, but he has already proven it in the Philippines. He can fight. Nothing goes wrong with his leg. Last loser of the movie for me, we've talked about it It's Beauty Gonzalez. I don't know what's the role. I don't get it. It's just a maybe a paycheck grab for her, but I could have done the movie without that character. So those were the losers of the movie for me. What about you, Navs? I even forgot her character's name.
I think it was Melissa, right? Yeah, Melissa, that was the name.
Did it ever get mentioned? I can't remember that it.
I think in the beginning lang, parang when she was introduced to him. Losers, let's see. I agree with you. I think disability discrimination. But again, like we mentioned, special cases, if the fighter can prove that they can fight with a prosthetic leg, they first have to prove it. And if the fighter proves it, then, you know, I think they deserve the boxing license. But at the same time, like we mentioned, we see the flip side also. Losers. What else? Sports fairness, I think, doesn't look so great. when the head coach of the main character is the one bribing the judges to make his guy win. It's a gutsy move for a sports movie, but at the same time, also it kind of highlights how as fair as we think or as fair as we want think sports are, shenanigans go down every now and then to kind of, you know, dictate the outcome, right? As Logan Roy said in the finale of Succession, everything in what matters in life is a number on a paper, right? But that's a conversation for another day. So yeah, those are my two losers. But overall, I would say there's nothing to harp on too negatively about. Honestly, Beauty Gonzalez, I haven't really watched her work before. This was her first movie that I probably watched. Not to say she's a bad actress. I don't think she's a bad actress. I just don't think she was kind of put in the position where there was enough character development for Melissa to
It's a badly written character. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so taking that into account, I guess you could kind of say the script writers could have been better with character development. But, you know, one of the challenges of making a sports biography into a film rather than a TV series is you have to compress so much info and so much knowledge into like an hour and a half. And also, I think a loser is happy endings, because this movie did not feel like it had a happy ending. You know, as it was so funny too, because every fight that Nao had, not only did he win, but he was dominating the fights. Diba? Parang I never feel like I saw him seriously get challenged in any fight. And then biglang at the end, it's like, oh yeah, boom, you know, you're so good. But sorry, we're not giving you a license. So a big L for those who believe that everything works out at the end of the day.
Yeah, right. Again, nothing against personally the actors of this movie. That's what I'm just trying to say. It was a badly written character. So lastly, for Gen San Punch, let's go to our nitpicks. So I have three listed down as well for my nitpicks. So the scene where the coach Rudy was rigging the fight, he was talking with the judge, I think, or the other fighter's coach or whoever was that. Nao's teammate Taku, he was like recording it, right? And from the camera angle, it looks like he the judge or whoever should have seen him, right, recording their conversation. So that was a nitpick for me. Dapat nakita siya dun eh. So second, Nao's first fight, if you remember Nav's first fight, first round, after the first round, there was just blood dripping down the nose of the fighter, and it was called a TKO, I think. I'm not sure of the technical term. So that was a nitpick for me. Like, whoa. I didn't see him like get hit, and all of a sudden his nose is bleeding. So lastly, also, maybe an unanswerable question is, why couldn't Nao just have fought here in the Philippines? Like, after getting rejected in Japan. Maybe he could have gone back here, right? Fought professionally. So maybe not a nitpick, but just a question from my end. So how about you, Nabs?
I agree with you in terms of the question. I think it would have been nice to kind of had an idea of what happened to Now also after the boxing career didn't work out. Like, what's he doing in life now? Maybe if they had put that in the film so it didn't feel like it ended on such a sour note. Nitpicks, I thought that the romance could have been better. The thing about romance is you have to make it really good if it's part of a movie, or just don't put it at all. Because it could make or break some films. I wouldn't say it broke this film, but it wasn't a plus. Let's see, nitpicks, what else? I think that they could have had better pacing to some degree. I never felt like what pace it was going at. Like, one day he's beating up his coach because the coach
would next day they were fine, they were okay.
Five minutes later, they're all fine, right? So, like, you understand it as someone who's watched a movie for years, like, it happens, but at the same time, it's still not like it's okay to completely do that. It would be nice to see some good progression. I felt that they did a great character development with Now and Coach Rudy, but it could have been nice to get a little more attached to the other characters as well. But really, other than that, all these nitpicks are, you know, they are what they are. They're nitpicks, right? If you can nitpick any movie in the world, if we had to nitpick movies. But if the question is the movie worth watching? I would say yes. Give it a shot, right? I mean, it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but it might be your cup of tea, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, having said all of that, our conversation, at the end of the day, we recommend this movie to you guys. Please watch it. It's exclusively streaming on HBO Go. If you haven't already, please subscribe to HBO Go. You can also download the app. You can subscribe to it for as low as 99 pesos a month. Go ahead and watch Gensan Punch. You can also binge watch a lot of series, a lot of movies like Succession, The Great Succession, as Naveen mentioned earlier. So yeah, Navs, thank you so much for being here and just talk about the movie. Why don't you please invite all our listeners like to all your work? How can they find you? Where can they find you and your work?
Yeah, thank you for that, Angelo. Thanks for inviting me to watching this movie. And of course, thank you to screeners, to Kimberly for the movie. It was great to watch it. In terms of my work, I'm taking a bit of a break right now. Just had my wedding last week. Have a couple of honeymoon trips I got coming up. But as usual, I've written articles for Rappler, sports and video games. You guys can follow me on my social media channels, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just search my name, Naveen Ganglani. We have a couple of podcasts we come out with every now and then. Some stuff on our YouTube channel. I have a show every Tuesday night, 7:30 p.m. called It's Game Time with Nabs on Kumu for the FYE channel. So yeah, guys, we are like the last... last night, actually, we had Kib Montalbo as a guest. So we chatted with him. We gave fans a chance to ask him questions. So if you guys are interested in that, do check that out. And yeah, just thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Right. Again, Gensan Punch now exclusively streaming on HBO Go. Naveen, thank you so much again. Ladies and gents, thank you for listening. And